You're watching a Highwire Media podcast. Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. I'm your host, as always, Larry Lease. Today, we're diving into the cold case murder of 39-year-old David Carter. Before you do that, give us your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And with that, let's dive right in. Now, today, we're speaking about the murder of 39-year-old David Carter. And you guys, this is just absolutely bonkers. I actually heard about this case when I was doing a nightly binge of Unsolved Mysteries. There's an episode, I think it's called Body in the Bags or something like that, and I was on the border or falling asleep, and then I started hearing the details and was jolted awake. Over the course of 2 weeks back in 2018, David's dismembered body was found tossed along a stretch of I-75 in Ohio, hundreds of miles from where he had been, or where he had been reported missing in Michigan. It's obvious from the get-go who was likely responsible, but once a warrant was put out for their arrest, police realized that this person had fled, and despite being on the FBI's most wanted list and the efforts of numerous agencies, this person is still at large, meaning that David's family has had to go years without any justice and with the fear that this person could harm someone again, which is a huge possibility. Exposure is everything, so keeping the story out there, keeping out the name and the photo of the person responsible is crucial. So let's get into the details and hopefully get David justice. David Carter was living in Melvindale, Michigan, where it seems he had spent most of his life. He attended River Rouge High School and in 1999 started a relationship with a woman named Samia. Together, they had a little boy named DJ. Now, David had always been a great guy, according to those that knew him, but having a son seemed to just make him that much better of a person. His whole world revolved around DJ and raising him to be a good man, while setting the best example that he could. David's sister said that David was her best friend. He gave the best advice. He took pride in everything that he did. He was very kind. He was an amazing dad, a business worker, a hard worker. He did everything to the fullest. He was working in a manufacturing plant for an auto supplier full-time, and he also owned his own clothing line called Lavish Habits. So he was always working, always progressing, and everyone respected this about him so much. Even with all that was going on, he juggled his personal life beautifully as well. His son DJ loved football. That was like his favorite thing, so David made it a point to volunteer as a coach with the Melvindale Junior Football League. He attended all of his son's games. He was active in every aspect of his life. They really did have a close relationship. He also would frequently stop at his parents' house to lend a hand with whatever they needed. He was really close to his family. David seemed to not take a single second for granted. David and Samia continued the relationship on and off until around 2014, when they decided to go their separate ways, but they maintained a good relationship and had shared custody to ensure the best possible life for DJ. After almost 15 years of having a consistent partner, those that knew David said that after he and Samia split, he continued on. He wanted a woman in his life. He had been interested in a few different women, but nothing ever seemed too serious because he still has a son and was focused on his career. In March of 2018, he started dating a woman named Tamara Williams, who went by Tammy. Now, David and Tammy had actually gotten high school together, so they had already known each other and reconnected at a friend's birthday party. Close friends of David, who had also gone to the same high school, it seems that everyone stayed pretty close in this community. They all remembered Tammy as well. She was described as being very bubbly and outgoing in high school. She seemed like a good person, you're just your average person. But it was a bit of a shock when she and David became an item. I guess it just really wasn't a match that anyone had considered. But Tammy did seem to have a good head on her shoulders. She had a good career. She had twins, a girl and a boy, who were 18 years old at the time. So it wasn't too far off from DJ. She was working as a phlebotomist at Detroit Medical Center, and she also was working as a travel agent. According to family, David seemed really happy in his relationship with Tammy initially, but this was short-lived. Tammy almost immediately posted up in David's apartment and rarely ever left. It almost got to the point that it was a joke. That whenever he saw David, Tammy was not far behind, like she was always around the corner. But within just a few short months, those closest to David could tell that he was getting really tired of her shenanigans. Tammy was becoming very possessive and jealous over every tiny little thing. David's dad said that he remembered when they would have family gatherings. David would, his usual self, he'd bouncing around from person to person, having conversations, having a good time. He was very social and close to his family. But Tammy would just be staring him down from afar. She herself wasn't ever socializing. She was just more irritated that David was showing attention to anyone but her, It was just really, really weird. And just weeks prior to his death, it got even worse. David and his female cousin decided to go out to see a movie together. She offered to pick him up, drive him there, and afterwards, when she dropped David back off at his apartment, all four of his tires had been slashed. While I don't think it was ever formally confirmed, everyone knew who the likely culprit was, including David. By September 2018, 6 months into the relationship, everyone believed that David was about to kick Tammy to the curb. He was really tired of it. He was not about this kind of clingy relationship. He enjoyed his independence. It was just very overwhelming for him. David and his whole family went to DJ's high school football game. It was something they all loved to do together. DJ's mom, Samia, was always there. They always had a great time. In this particular game, David had arrived with Tammy. But when David's family arrived, they noticed that Tammy and David were not sitting together. David didn't seem upset or anything. It was quite the opposite. He was laughing, throwing popcorn, cheering on his son and his team. Eventually, a few people asked David, "What's going on with her? Is everything okay?" David seemed to brush it off, saying that she was going to be fine and continued to enjoy the game. But DJ's mom, Samia, said that there was one point where she looked up at Tammy just to check on her, and Tammy was burning holes into her, staring. Samia said it felt like she had seen the devil when she looked at Tammy. Tammy was clearly not okay. She seemed enraged, maybe enraged over an argument that she had with David, or maybe she was just enraged that he was surrounded by people, having a good time. Either way, something was not right, but everyone just kind of brushed it off. David's a grown man. He can manage himself. Tammy can manage herself. And so everyone went on as usual. But after the game, something happened, and it changed everyone's lives. Around 10:30 p.m. on September 29th, that night, David reached out to his sister. She said that he seemed in good spirits, and it also seemed like he was alone, based on the fact that Tammy rarely ever left his side. It was suspected that maybe he had finally ended things with her. Or, at the very least, they just weren't on speaking terms after whatever happened at the game. In the call, David asked his sister to edit a video from the game so he could post it online. He also mentioned that he had to head into work early that following day at 5 a.m. You know, just like your average conversation, they then said their goodbyes. And this was the last time anyone spoke to David. So then, on the next day, Sunday rolled around, and David never ended up showing up to that 5 a.m. shift. His coworkers and managers all knew that this was not like him. One of his coworkers had worked with him for almost 20 years at this point, and had never seen David, no call, no show. Plus, this particular shift was supposed to pay triple time, and David would never miss that unless it was an emergency. So they figured something was going on, and then he would likely show up to his next shift. But things just kept getting weirder. Later that day, Samia and DJ ended up getting a strange text from David's phone. He was supposed to have DJ over that night. It was a weekend tradition that they had, but in this text, David said that DJ couldn't come over. He claimed he thought he had a cold and had been getting over it, but now he was just nonstop vomiting and so sick that DJ couldn't be there. So DJ, understandably, tried to call his dad and check on him after hearing this information. But David wasn't answering the phone. DJ texted him and said, "Hey, I'm trying to call you." David texted back right away, claiming that he was so sick he couldn't even talk on the phone. This was definitely strange, but no one had any reason at this point to not believe what they were being told. They were just trying to work their way around it the best they could. DJ eventually ended up heading over to his dad's apartment anyways. He had a few things there that he needed to pick up before the week started, and he figured it wouldn't hurt to check on his dad in person, especially since he was claiming to be so sick he couldn't even be on the phone. When DJ arrived, it was weird. As DJ was hopping out of the car, he noticed Tammy. Tammy was taking trash to the dumpster. They both saw each other, locked eyes, and the moment they did, Tammy turned around and booked it back to the apartment. DJ thought, okay, that was a little weird, and he ended up getting to the door just after her. Of course, he was expecting it to be unlocked. They had just locked eyes. Tammy had seen him. There was no other reason that DJ would be there other than to go to his dad's apartment, where he also lived part-time. But Tammy, for some reason, had locked the door behind her. So again, DJ thought, okay, that's weird, but whatever, I got a key. He just unlocked it and went inside anyway. Tammy was right there waiting for him, and she asked, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" DJ tried not to think much of it and said, "Just need to grab a few things. Have you seen my charger?" Just these little things he needed to pick up. But he quickly noticed that the door to his dad's bedroom was closed. That was very unlike him. As soon as he noticed that the bedroom door was closed, he looked over and saw Tammy quickly shutting the bathroom door as well, like she had something to hide. So at this point, DJ asked, "Where's my dad? I'd like to talk to him. He said he was really sick. I need to check on him." But Tammy said, "Oh, he's not here. He just went on a walk." Now, DJ said, in hindsight, this made absolute no sense. David, in his text earlier, claimed he was so sick he couldn't even be on the phone, basically stuck in the bathroom. So it wasn't at all likely that he'd be like, "You know what? I'm going to take a walk." But at that time, DJ, he's only 16 years old, brushed off. So he left. David failed to show up at work the following day, Monday, and again on Tuesday. At this point, one of his close friends and coworkers was seriously concerned. It was one thing for David to miss one day. That was already odd enough. But 3 days, and no one could get in touch with him. Something was very wrong. When his family heard that he had missed these 3 days of work, especially after the odd experience with Tammy at the football game and the strange way she acted at the apartment on Sunday, they frantically called his phone, praying that he would answer and that this was all some big misunderstanding. But David's phone was going straight to voicemail, just another odd thing to add to the list. So they called the one person who never left his side, Tammy. She had spent every single day with him over the last 6 months without fail. She never left his apartment unless she had to work. She had to know where David was, or at the very least, be able to explain what was going on. But Tammy claimed that she hadn't seen David or spoke to him since that Sunday when DJ came over. That wasn't sitting right with anyone. Not only did this completely go against Tammy and David's pattern and history in their relationship, but Tammy didn't seem concerned whatsoever. So, David's sister and her husband decided to go and check David's apartment themselves. Maybe he was sicker than they thought. Maybe he needed help. There were a lot of things running through their minds. When they arrived, they immediately noticed that David's car was still in the parking lot. So he hadn't gone anywhere. But when they knocked on his door, there was no answer. Eventually, they decided to grab the handle just to check. And David's door was unlocked. David's sister knew her brother so well. He was a creature of habit. He was always concerned over safety. He was always making sure his apartment was locked. So she knew at this point, something wasn't right. She called her dad and Samia and asked them to come to the apartment because they did not feel comfortable going into David's apartment alone. When everyone arrived, they all kind of got together and prepared themselves to go inside. And right away, they got confirmation that something awful had to have happened. David was a very clean person. His sister described him as being a neat freak. Everything in his apartment had a place. Everything had to be in order. But his apartment was in a state of disarray. There were balled up sheets that looked like they had been cleaned or whatever, and then just shoved into the linen closet. His room was a disaster. David's bed was unmade. The closer they looked, the more horrifying things became. They went to pull back the comforter on David's bed and revealed blood on the mattress. It also appeared that the bed had been moved. When furniture sits on the carpet for a while, it leaves little indents. The bed was off by a few inches. When they looked under the bed, it was obvious why it had been moved. There was a huge blood stain underneath the bed on the carpet. They continued to look around the room and noticed what appeared to be a bullet hole in the top corner of the mattress, and then another one in the corner of the closet. It seemed like somebody had been shot in this room, and that someone was very likely David, considering nobody could find him. Right away, his family called Melvindale Police to report him as missing. Initially, he was only considered a missing person. The entire apartment complex ended up being cordoned off. Police were going through everything they could. They were in a dumpster, speaking to people around the apartment complex, and examining David's apartment, hoping to find clues, because obviously what they had already found was not suggesting anything good. The evidence was suggesting that someone had been seriously harmed. Police also started to reach out to local morgues and hospitals, pretty much anywhere someone with a bullet wound might end up. But there was still no sign of David. Later that day, his family decided to reach out to Tammy again. They knew she had to know something more than she was letting on. Police were crawling all over his apartment. It was a whole scene. His family was devastated and frantic. But clingy Tammy was nowhere to be found. It turned out she had gone to work, as if absolutely nothing had happened. Despite being told again and more formally now that David was a missing person, despite being told what was found in David's apartment, she was still unconcerned. While David's family was just beginning to process the horrifying signs in his apartment, a very scary reality was already unfolding behind the scenes. 2 days prior, on October 1st, the day before David was officially reported missing, road crews working along I-75 just outside of Findlay, Ohio, hundreds of miles from David's apartment. One of the crew members suddenly noticed a sleeping bag in the tree line just off the interstate. When they approached the bag, it seemed obvious that something was inside. The crew got a bad feeling and called in the Department of Transportation to have someone higher up come out and check it out. When the DOT arrived, they initially believed it was likely someone's deceased pet, maybe a dog, based on the size and weight of whatever was inside. Then a terrifying possibility crept into that mind that maybe it was a child. So they stopped what they were doing and called in State Patrol to open the bag themselves. It was neither of those original theories. Inside the sleeping bag was the lower portion of a human body. The partial remains were sent off to a medical examiner who confirmed that this was an adult male who had been severed at the belly button, but there were no other remains found in the surrounding area. Where was the rest of the body? The examiner determined the person had not been deceased for very long. There was also a very distinct tattoo on their left leg, a pit bull. Investigators hoped this detail might help identify the person while they tried to figure out how and why someone had ended up dismembered on the side of a highway. Authorities in Ohio started reaching out to surrounding agencies to check for recent missing persons. At first, they weren't having much luck, until the next day when David Carter was finally reported missing, hundreds of miles away in Michigan. The physical description of David potentially matched the remains found in the sleeping bag, but they needed to be sure. So, on Wednesday, October 3rd, Melvindale police reached out to David's father. They wanted to know if David had any tattoos. The moment he began to describe the pit bull tattoo on David's leg, they knew. A DNA test was ordered to confirm and sure.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Fair enough, the remains belong to David Carter. His family was devastated. What a horrific thing to happen to someone they loved so dearly. And they were terrified they'd never locate all of David's remains to lay him to rest properly. I can't imagine the different things going through their minds. Honestly, this is like a nightmare come to life. Everyone seemed to have an idea of who maybe had been behind all of this, even the police. Because by Friday, October 5th, Tammy Williams was arrested as the prime suspect in David's murder. Authorities had heard about the strange encounter DJ had at the apartment, the history of Tammy and David's relationship, and the fact that the woman who refused to be away from David for 6 straight months suddenly wanted nothing to do with him when he turned up missing and dismembered. But Tammy wasn't talking. Melvindale police had her in custody for 3 days, hoping she would crack, or they'd be able to gather enough evidence to formally charge her. I have looked and looked, but I've not been able to find any information on what she did or didn't tell the police. But I do know that when their legal window was up on October 8th, they didn't have enough evidence, so they had no choice but to release her. This was a huge, crushing blow to the investigation. That night, David's family held a vigil for him at McGee's Park to remember all of the good that he did for others, the great example he had been for his son, and how much he was going to be missed. He had been senselessly stolen from everyone who loved him. Meanwhile, Tammy failed to acknowledge her missing and now confirmed murdered boyfriend at all. She went on with life as normal. On October 10th, just days after the vigil, another startling discovery was made. More remains were found along I-75, this time with a black duffel bag. Inside the duffel bag was a human head wrapped in grocery bags. The remains were sent to the same medical examiner, who quickly determined that this, too, was David. Based on the gunshot wound just below his left ear, it was confirmed that he had been shot and killed in very close range. Then on Thursday, October 16th, the rest of his remains were finally found, also tossed along I-75. A floral suitcase had been discarded on the side of the highway, and inside was David's upper torso, his arms, hands, and fingers, all wrapped up in a comforter. At this point, investigators had a very clear picture of what had likely happened. There were no signs at all on David's body that he had put up a fight. No scratches, no bruises, nothing. So they believed that he'd likely been shot in his sleep. They also considered the possibility that he had been drugged to ensure he wouldn't fight back. Toxicology did come back, showing that he had an antihistamine in his system. However, authorities didn't go into more detail or confirm whether it was a large or suspicious dose, just that it was present. Based on all the evidence collected so far, here's what authorities and David's family believed happened. David likely argued with Tammy on the way to his son's football game on Friday, September 28th. His family believes that after the game, David decided to cut things off with Tammy and kick her out of his apartment. Enough was enough. That was the last straw. That's probably why she didn't seem to be there when David was on the phone with his sister the following night. However, Tammy had a key and clearly had the jealous mentality of, if I can't have him, nobody can. It's believed that Tammy let herself into David's apartment late that Saturday night or early Sunday morning and killed him as he slept. At that point, she likely realized she would have to dispose of his body somehow. But David was over 6 feet tall, about 6'4", and nearly 200 pounds. He was a big guy, and Tammy was not going to be able to casually get his body out of the apartment. So, she decided to dismember me. Or him, excuse me, not me. My bad. Which honestly makes me want to vomit. According to the medical examiner, something along the lines of a kitchen knife was used, meaning it likely took her hours. So in all that time, not once did she stop and think, I am doing something awful, so heinous, I should stop. Well, she just continued on, and all of her actions afterwards strongly suggest that she does not care about what she did. She was only worried about protecting herself. Tammy then tried to make sure that no one came over to see what she had done. She texted both DJ and Samia, telling them David was extremely sick. So when DJ came over anyway, it likely shocked her, which is why she reacted the way she did. This woman was able to stare David's son in the face and lie about his whereabouts, likely with David's body in pieces in the next room, knowing that she had just taken a father from this young man, his favorite person in the world. Police believe that after this, Tammy took a long drive over state lines to try to throw off the inevitable investigation. And it was working for a little while. Authorities needed more evidence. They had to continue their investigation to try and get enough to arrest Tammy formally. Meanwhile, David's family came together with friends to hold a memorial. David had been such a huge part of so many lives, and he had been so brutally ripped away from all of them. His son DJ was only 16 years old at the time. Can you imagine having to hear something this awful had happened to someone you love? And then knowing that you stared the monster behind it in the face immediately afterwards? DJ later stated that he wished he had gone into his dad's room that day. He said he felt like something was off, but couldn't put his finger on it. He wishes he would have pushed a little bit further, but at the same time, he knows that had he done that, he likely could have become a victim too. And honestly, I agree. It's clear that Tammy was willing to go to whatever length she needed in order to cover up what she did. It wasn't until December 20th, 2018, nearly 3 months later, that police finally had enough evidence to issue a formal arrest warrant for Tammy. She was charged with first-degree murder, dismembering a body, tampering with evidence. But when authorities went to serve the warrant, Tammy was nowhere to be found. And this sparked a massive manhunt, one that is still ongoing to this day. Nobody knows where she is. Well, I take that back. There are probably multiple people who know, but they just don't have any moral compass or conscience. Take a good look at this woman, Tamara Renee Williams. Police say she murdered and dismembered her boyfriend in Melvindale and then scattered his remains all along I-75 in Ohio. Now the marshals are calling on the public for help tracking her down. David Carter Jr., just 16 years old, said in an interview, quote, "That hurts because I thought he was going to be there my whole life. I really miss my dad. I love him a lot. He was my hero. True hero." Carter family had been completely fooled by Tammy. They thought she loved David just as much as they did. Well, maybe she loved him a little too much. Someone in the family said they never thought Tammy would be capable of killing someone. They had accepted her as one of their own. Nobody deserves what she did. We love you as a family. We took you in. She was a travel agent. She was also a Freemason. The family hoped that the members of the Masonic community would help turn her in. So police began to trace her steps. They wanted to go back through the final days and weeks, try to figure out where she went, and hopefully find her current location. Unfortunately, they discovered Tammy had quite a head start. By January, authorities found that Tammy had fled back in mid-October, specifically on Tuesday, October 16th, the day police found the final parts of David's body. That same day, she traveled to Ann Arbor, Michigan, withdrew a large amount of cash from a local ATM. Some sources say she used multiple ATMs, then went out for dinner and drinks. Surveillance footage shows her sitting alone, enjoying her meal, completely unbothered. She was calm, casual, just living life, knowing what she had done and knowing she was about to become a fugitive. It is shocking how some people can just continue on like this, showing zero remorse or empathy. That night, she checked into a hotel in Ann Arbor. The next day, Wednesday, October 17th, she got on a train from Ann Arbor to Chicago, where she transferred to another train bound for Penn Station in New York. She arrived in New York City on Thursday, October 18th, and was tracked to Brooklyn, where she checked into the Neptune Motel, paying in cash. It's believed that she had booked it in advance. Up until that point, she had been using her legal name and IDs, so it was fairly easy to follow her movements. But on Friday, October 19th, surveillance captured her leaving the Neptune Motel. And from there, the trail goes entirely cold. No more footage, no bus, train, or flight records, no further ATM withdrawals, no rideshare pickups, nothing. After Tammy was seen leaving the Neptune Motel on Friday, October 19th, 2018, the trail went cold. There have been no confirmed sightings, no records of her getting on another train, plane, or bus. No credit or debit card usage, no more use of her name or ID. It's like she vanished into thin air. Authorities searched high and low. They frantically tried to pick up her trail again, but it was going nowhere. According to investigators, Tammy's family was not cooperative. They claimed they had no knowledge of her whereabouts and didn't help her run. But the marshals strongly questioned that. We saw how easily traceable she was for the first few days from Michigan to Brooklyn, and then suddenly nothing. That tells investigators that someone stepped in and began helping her from that point forward. Maybe she changed her name, started using a fake ID, or began paying cash only. But like authorities have said, that can only last for so long. Eventually, the cash runs out. Eventually, something has to change. And when it does, that's where mistakes can happen. By September 2021, the speculation that Tammy's family was helping her grew stronger. That's because Tammy's mother, Verdine Day, ended up being charged and convicted after embezzling $200,000 from the Detroit Firefighters Association, where she had been the treasurer. Authorities announced that they strongly believed some of that money was given to Tammy to help her stay hidden. Yet still, no one was talking. One heartbreaking aspect of this case is how completely Tammy was able to embed herself into David's life and be embraced by his family. David's sister recalled, "Someone able to meet a family, spend time with you, she was very, very obsessive over my brother." Tammy had no criminal history prior to this. She had been David's girlfriend for just 6 months, and she was always by his side, until the moment he vanished. As soon as police were onto her, Tammy took off. The Carter family's worst fears were realized, and Tammy had disappeared without a trace. After Tammy disappeared, the marshals put all hands on deck in a worldwide fugitive hunt. Tammy had a large network of friends and connections, especially through the Order of the Eastern Star, an affiliate of the Freemasons. The marshals believe this network may be unknowingly helping her, not realizing she's a wanted fugitive. Tammy also has a history of working as a travel agent and is known to frequent other countries. That makes tracking her even harder and more urgent. The U.S. Marshal Task Force continues to ask for the public help. Tammy is considered armed and dangerous, as the weapon used in David's murder has never been recovered. They fear that she could get into another relationship, potentially harm someone again, be around someone completely unaware of what she's capable of. Those who know Tammy have told authorities that she's the type of person who always needs to be in a relationship. She's not the kind to go long without a man in her life. And since anonymity is so important to her right now, it's likely that her relationships have been short-lived, which means there could be multiple men out there who have interacted with her since her disappearance. Men who may not have known who she really is. And that's why it's so important to keep her story alive. As of now, Tammy is 44 years old, about 5'5", weighed around 190 pounds when last seen, has brown eyes and naturally black hair, although she's known to wear wigs and change her appearance frequently. She may have changed the length or color of her hair, altered her appearance further, and be using a fake name. But the one thing that investigators believe will help identify her is her tattoo. Tammy has a large rose tattoo on her left shoulder, taking up most of her upper arm. and has heavy line work, making it difficult to cover completely. Even if she had it altered or covered up, a tattoo artist would likely remember doing it. And that detail may be the thing that finally helps someone identify her. Tammy Williams is still out there somewhere, and while the trail may be cold, authorities know she can't stay hidden forever. She has to make a living, she has to pay for things, just like everyone else. Authorities believe it's possible that Tammy is working in the medical field in some capacity, as that was part of her previous employment history. However, they also consider that she could still be working as a travel agent, which honestly seems like the more likely of the two. It would be difficult to get into a medical job without valid IDs, licenses, or documents that could easily raise red flags. Her travel agents can work remotely, and with her previous industry experience and connections, it's possible she's continuing in that role. The most disturbing part is that due to her experience as a travel agent, Tammy has connections around the world. Authorities believe that knowledge could have helped her flee the country undetected. And that is pretty terrifying. Unsolved Mysteries aired an episode about David's case in 2022 titled Body in Bags. That episode alone brought in nearly 100 tips. That just goes to show how important it is to keep sharing these stories. The more people who know, the more likely someone will come forward with useful information. You'd be surprised how often people in their communities where crimes happen have never heard of the case. There can be dozens of people out there who have seen Tammy, spoken to her, maybe even lived near her, and simply don't know who she really is. That's why spreading her photo is so critical. Someone somewhere has seen Tammy. She has had to go into a gas station, restaurant, grocery store, doctor's office, urgent care, even a job interview. She's likely out there living some kind of life, maybe even a new one entirely. While authorities have not confirmed this publicly, Unsolved Mysteries reported that the tips they received seemed to indicate Tammy was still in the United States. However, none of those tips have been successfully narrowed down to a specific location. So while it's still possible she's still in the country, we just don't know. And at this point, feels like she could be anywhere. Authorities have also noted that Tammy had close ties to the Order of the Eastern Star, which is a chapter of Freemasonry. The connection could be playing a role in helping her stay hidden, but there's not enough public information to say for certain. David Carter's family has made numerous public pleas, even addressing Tammy directly. They've remained remarkably composed, far more gracious than she deserves, hoping she will eventually come forward. But the truth is, Tammy has successfully flown under the radar for over 5 years now. She's likely not hiding in a dark room somewhere. She's probably living an entirely new life, maybe with a new name, in a new city, with new people who have no idea what she's done. It's honestly pretty chilling to think about. So what can you do? I want to urge everyone, share Tammy Williams' photo. Share it on social media, text it to people, repost it. Do whatever you can. Get it circulating again. There is currently a $225,000 reward being offered for information that leads to her capture and arrest. You may think a simple share won't matter, but this is exactly what authorities are relying on right now. All it takes is the right person seeing her face, someone who recognizes her in a store, clinic, DMV, or a small community she's hiding in. David Carter's story should not fade away. His family is still fighting for justice, still living with the pain of knowing that the woman who murdered him is free. Tammy Williams is still on the FBI's most wanted list. She is believed to be armed and dangerous. The public is being asked not to approach her, but to contact authorities immediately if she is seen. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen and watch David's story. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit the subscribe button down below. Give us your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like our videos. And subscribe to the channel. Of course, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, whether it's Amazon, Good Pods, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.